Welcome to What the Fuck Did I Just Read? The Tech Sales and Marketing Edition. This is going to be a blast.
This isn't just a podcast to have a conversation. This is a podcast to effect change.
It's kind of our outlet for therapy, to just let it rip. All righty. Welcome, everybody, to another episode of What the Fuck Did I Just Read? Tech Sales and Marketing Edition. I am your co-host, Danny Wolf.
And I am the cohort, Chris Roberts.
All right. 2 weeks have passed. Anything new in your world, Chris Roberts?
Haven't they been an eventful 2 weeks? Shit. Yeah. What an eventful 2 weeks. Good grief alive. What you learn about your body in 2 weeks when it shuts down and refuses to actually do anything is rather amazing. All credit, like seriously, all credit to the, I know the healthcare system in the US takes a bit of a beating on a pretty regular basis, but all credit to the folks that did the poking and prodding and figuring out, and eventually my body releasing blood and scans and shit. But fun little world and an interesting set of next chapters to have. I'm actually going to drop a LinkedIn post out on it probably when we finish the podcast.
Excellent. Yeah. I'm glad you are okay. And, I told you before the call, if you need me over in your area, take care of things, let me know. I'll be very close very soon. So
I know. It's going to be absolutely fantastic. I'm looking forward to it. Yeah, it's it's one of those things. I mean, I'm sitting here drinking my cup of tea, so I can still do that, but a hell of a lot less sugar in it, because apparently now sugar equals poison for me. It's as simple as that. It's like anything, it's not knowing is worse. When you've at least got a path forward, even if that path forward is fucking rocky and a whole bunch of other shit going on it, at least it's a path forward. At least there's, and for me, I'm very, I like my goals. I like my, hey, I need to do this. I need to do this. I need to do this. It's, I have to take my blood every couple of hours now. I have to poke it every couple of hours and do all that kind of stupidity. But at least I know what I have to be at. So now I can go, okay, where do I need to be? Where do I need to do? What can I do? What can I not do? How can I balance things? So it's the upside is the drugs they've got me on mean I can, I couldn't get out of bed. I mean, I literally could not get out of bed. The body shut down, basically glucose coma. And so it got to a point. So yeah, no, so it's good. It's, feels happier, so that's a good thing.
Yes.
We'll be good.
As you mentioned, it's manageable, and that's the most important.
Yeah. I'm not the only one on the freaking planet. So, it's like, let's figure this shit out. And again, it's the upside is, as of Friday, they were like, hey, cancer clear. So I'm like, I will take that. If I'm clear of cancer, I'll take it. Everything else I can fucking deal with. Perfect. That's how I look at it.
Perfect. All right, before we pick our sales outreach poison, sorry I had to drop it, let's go through some housekeeping items. For anybody who has questions, please save those towards the end of the session. We'll bring you on if we have enough time, because sometimes we go on our rants. And just enjoy the show. So what's the poison for today? I know you put up a post.
It's us. I put up a post. It's us. It's time to look in the mirror. Yeah, yes. this is the we do a rather fantastic, let's be honest, we do a rather fantastic job of stripping down the sales and marketing side of the world and exposing all of its issues and challenges and everything else. But I think the one thing that we haven't done so much of, even though we've alluded to it, and I think this is the one thing I want to spend some time on today, and maybe we'll do another session or two on this, is the CISO's responsibility. And that was the post that I put it up on LinkedIn. It was very much aimed at CISO, CTO, CIOs, but there were some very, very good comments on the post that were like, hey, this shouldn't just be for us, it should be for board of directors, it should be for CEOs, anybody in a leadership position, influence, owns the checkbook, those kind of positions. So this is really one of maybe a couple of these that I think we're going to end up doing, definitely.
Has there been like a specific message from a CISO, CIO, CTO that ticked you off, that made you create that post, or made you kind of get on to the mission of let's look in the mirror?
Yeah, I think there's been a couple of things. I've done, I just realized I'm looking in the damn reflection. My glasses are all wonky as all hell, but such is life, it is what it is. That's going to annoy the hell out of me because I'm going to be doing this all the next bloody half hour. All right, we'll talk. Yeah, I think it's a couple of things. So the lunches, let's talk about the dinner, actually dinners. It's more the dinners thing. So been out for a couple of dinners, only done two, because I don't like doing them very much. Again, from my position, I don't like it because of what it potentially implies. But I've watched people, and I've been out a couple of times and just watched a couple of people at conferences, perfect example of conferences. And then just looking at how much effort goes into, and having also sat on that side of the fence where I've had to arrange these dinners. Just watching how entitled certain people are and certain sectors are, should we say, and how much it's like, well, I'm not going to show you the checkbook unless you take me out for steak dinner, let alone I'm going out for steak dinner and I have no intentions of buying. I mean, I sat at a dinner a while ago, not that long ago, and it was somebody just basically came and like, yeah, I've done four dinners. It's like this was their like fourth, third or fourth dinner in that evening. And I'm like, WTF? Because I'm like, number one, I mean, as a vendor, and I've done the vendor side of it, as a vendor, I know how much I pay per plate for that bloody experience. So that's number one. I don't expect everybody to be able to come in to be qualified and all this kind of good stuff, but I expect to at least get a little bit of feedback. I expect to at least get a bit of interaction and at least get some insights. And if you've got somebody who's literally bouncing from dinner to dinner to dinner, and this was not a conference level stuff. This was just somebody who was like, yeah, I did the drinks with this and the dinner here, and I had dinner, and I'm come here for dessert. And I'm like, it was a WTF. And my other frustration is they weren't necessarily in a buying position. So you've probably just cost between those four vendors, probably between 500 and $1,000, give or take a little bit. And again, it's not that the vendor's going to get anything out of it. It's simply the fact that you feel entitled enough to do that that I have a problem with. And I think it's the same thing with, the outings and the golfings and all of this kind of good stuff as well. I get the fact that vendors want to put it on, they want to get people together and do all this kind of stuff, and sometimes there's good value in that. But other times I think again, it annoys me when, as a leader of somebody, I hit 2023, we're in now, yeah, brain's still waking up. I hit 2023, I knew exactly what I needed to be focused on. If I didn't, then why the hell am I in the role I'm in? And I would say that goes for CIOs, CTOs, CXOs. Yes, maybe I want to learn about something else. I want to learn about a different technology. I want to learn about something. But if it's not even in the wheelhouse of where I'm focusing, why the hell am I even wasting my time? Why am I wasting a vendor's time? Why am I leading somebody on? And why can't I simply say no? I get a bunch of invites on a regular basis. I will send them to other members of the team and say, look, and I'll be very upfront with the vendor and say, look, we're not focusing on this. I'm not going to be attending. I'm happy to pass it on to my team, but please understand there's no expectations of sale. And I'm happy for you to say no, and I'm also happy to re-engage in 6 or 12 months' time. But I don't see that from a lot of vendors. I see us taking advantage of that, and I don't like it. It's wrong. And I think it's all part of the cycle. If we were able to say no, or we were able to not feel like we had to be wined and dined and bedded to get a freaking deal, then I think we all might be in a slightly better position as well.
How do you prefer to be kind of approached in that regard? I mean, we talk about it all the time, every single week, but kind of let's go through the alternative approach. First of all, the alternative approach to the C-suite approaching this, and then how
Yeah.
you prefer this kind of
I,
working out.
for me, I think it's a couple of things. And then this is what gets really interesting because I've said no a number of times. 75 to 90% of the time it's accepted. 10 to 25% of the time a retort comes back. And the retort is not necessarily, hey, totally understand it. Let's talk in 6 or 12 months' time. The retort is, well, you might want to. Fuck you, I said no. Which part of no can't you understand? Now, I think for me, I'm happy to look at some stuff and go, hey, not in my wheelhouse at the moment, something I don't need to deal with, something I don't want to deal with. But also if it is something I want to deal with, so a perfect example, April and I think it's actually April and Maria. I'm trying to think who else is involved in it. They're taking over a Waffle House. Now, God forbid it's a Waffle House and they're scary beyond a reasonable doubt, but it's also awesome and they're cool and it's part of American culture, let's face it. They're taking over a Waffle House for the day or for like half a day or something. That's freaking awesome. One, there's parking. Let's be honest. Most times when you do the wining and dining, it's at a damn restaurant downtown where there's no parking, or it's fucking valet parking or something like that. But secondly, I mean, there's parking. But secondly, what's the average price of a dinner at Waffle House? $10, $15, yeah, bucks, maybe yeah. 20 if you're splurging. Yeah, $20. If you're splurging, it's $20. You can't even get into a freaking steakhouse for $20. That's very, your valet costs more than that. Your appetizers cost that and most, plus tax, and you screw, let's face it. So I think I like that. For me, it's all about going out for a cup of tea or a cup of coffee or something. If I'm interested in something, my initial outreach, I want minimal. It's 30 minutes, end of conversation. If you can't get across what we need to have a conversation on in 30 minutes, then there's a problem with the message. And then there's a problem with the product because it doesn't explain itself efficiently. Secondly, 30 minutes. And tea, coffee, something at most. Because again, I'm into it or a vendor's into it for $10. And that's it. And quite honestly, I'll split it with the damn vendor if I have to, for something like that. So, and if they're not local, I've taken a leaf out of a few other people's books. There are a bunch of other good, like, leadership type people and people in our position who have said, hey, I set time aside. So I've now set Friday afternoon aside. My Friday afternoons from like noon onwards are now set aside for like vendor, supplier type of like intro-y or like mentoring conversations. Again, 30 minute type conversation. So I've now got time deliberately set aside so it won't interrupt the rest of my week. So right. I think that's also part of it. It's keeping those interruptions to a very focused area. But I went out, April and a couple of the crew said, hey, come out for dinner one evening. And I did. And it was, the dogs got some great leftovers. Let's just be perfectly honest. They got some amazing steak leftovers. But it was weird because, I sat around the table and I put myself in the vendor seat and I'm like, okay, I'm paying for this. There's, there were one of them, there were probably 10, 15 of us. That's $100+ a plate. That plus the wine, plus the appetizers, that was probably, somewhere between $2,000 and $5,000 for that evening. And I'm like, what did they get out of it?
Mm-hmm.
And to me, the value out wasn't worth what they had to pay into it. And I think that's where my frustration, whether it's a pre-qualified buyer, whether it's actually having the right people at the table, whether it's the right conversations, whether it's just simply, so I have a problem with it. I have a problem with that. Hey, let's go for steak dinner or let's go and have an expensive meal. The freaking Waffle House thing is a fantastic idea. Or even just like, let's get everybody around. Let's do a coffee morning. Let's figure out where everybody is in town and let's do a couple of coffee meetings. We've done it a couple of times at the watch place. So in town here in Denver, there's two watch stores. They're both owned by the same family called Right Time. Freaking amazing. Family owned, have been since like 1970s. And we've done a whiskey event there. So we did it. It was watches, whiskeys, and work. And again, it was catered, wasn't expensive. I provided the whiskey, so there was no cost there. And we just had 30, 40, 50 people in and just kicked back. We just talked. We hung out. We didn't do much. There was no presentation. It was just an informal kick out. Let's get everybody together and let's talk. And if somebody wants to talk about the product or somebody's interested about it, then they can. But otherwise, it's a networking event, if nothing else.
What's the value out? You talked about value out. And I always think about, like, when I'm thinking about the programs that I want to spin up, I'm thinking about, okay, well, there's what happens at this particular event or meeting. And then is there actual value out and progress from that meeting? right? Yeah. So to you, what is that from a buyer's perspective? What does that look like?
From a buyer's perspective, it looks like it's qualifying. So, and this is where it gets into the interesting balance, because I'm now spending more often on my time. I'm pointing everybody at Victoria and the Kalidi team. So I, in theory, don't even have to worry about this, which is in some ways kind of nice as well. But for me, that out is almost pre-qualifying whether that technology or that product is something that I'm interested in. And I don't have to have a formal set of presentations for it. I don't have to sit there through appetizers waiting for somebody to put the right PowerPoint slide up. I just need to understand it from within my context. And I mean, one of the dinners we did the other week was very, very much that way. Really good conversation with a couple of folks over from Israel, talking about data and some other stuff. And you know, there were two or three different products there. And one of them was like, hey, this one would be great in 6 to 12 months time. This one might be useful in 3 to 6 months time. And one of them was like, I don't see a use for it for probably 2 years. We're not at that level of maturity. End of conversation. That was literally from just sitting opposite and just having 10 minutes worth of conversation. I don't think I'm unique from a CISO perspective, or again, CISO, CIO, CEO, CTO. I don't think I'm unique in the perspective of being able to actually make that quick level of assessment. So again, why do I need to spend 4 hours at a steak dinner for a 10-minute conversation when we could do the same thing over a cup of tea or a cup of coffee or a Waffle House or snacks or a quick lunch somewhere and keep everybody's costs down? I mean, let's, because again, you know, it all comes down to the financial aspect. You know, how much money are you willing to invest in this? How much money am I willing? How much time and all this stuff? I can do a hell of a lot more in a 30-minute sit down for a cup of tea than I can do around a freaking steak dinner, let's be honest.
Let's also be honest that in many times you may not even have a lot of time for a steak dinner. Like, you're busy.
I mean, that's, you know, you look at my evenings, and this is, I think, where it goes into. It's like, okay. And again, it's on both sides. You know, again, having sat on the vendor side, I mean, I was talking to one of the vendors, and we were having a really, really good conversation. And they, you know, they'd flown in from Israel. They'd been out on the West Coast, then they were here in Denver, and then they were going to Austin the following day. Then they were going somewhere else, and then somewhere else, and then they were back in Denver for another bunch of meetings. So I'm like, what the hell? You know, this is people that are also, and again, having sat on that side of the fence, who are away from their families for 2 weeks for what? Freaking 20 steak dinners and maybe a couple of leads out of it? All because the CEO, CIO, CTO expects, you know, expects that. Tracy Pipelama said, you know, egos have no place in sales or purchasing. I mean, it's perfectly right. 100% nailed it. It doesn't have it, but that's feeling like I'm seeing too much of it. You know, again, the two dinners I did and the dinners I've done over the years, I mean, you go to RSA and Black and everybody else, and everybody's trying to wine and dine the hell out of you. I don't want it. I sit down, 30 minutes, cup of tea, we're in good shape.
I can't tell you how much I'm looking forward to meeting up with Chris Elliott just for tacos. He's like, I just want to have tacos and beers. I'm like so excited for tacos. And this is like 11 months in the making.
That's awesome.
Tacos and beer. That's it. We're going to hit something up maybe in Orange County or something like that. I'm really stoked. But so yeah, really fancy, ritzy places do get old, I feel like. Yeah.
It's not just, I think it's a number of different things. You know, it's not just that they're getting old. It's a value. And I'm intrigued. You know, I almost feel like I should put something out on LinkedIn. I'd be intrigued on maybe putting something out on LinkedIn. I'm intrigued as to how many folks in a leadership type position are still of the opinion that, you know, that traditional way of doing things, like we have to go out for dinner to seal the deal kind of bullshit.
Let's put out a survey.
That might be. Do you mind doing it on the audience first one? Would that be all right? And I'll happily kick it and do some other things. Yeah. For me, it's one of those things where, again, I think it's back to this. It's back to the same sales and marketing mentality of quantity versus quality. My question now becomes one of exactly the same thing is, are people still set in their old ways of we have to wine and dine, as opposed to, I mean, this freaking Waffle House thing is just, I think I can't, I want to say, and somebody's going to have to correct me, Maria, I think it was you and Amber. Do me a favor, somebody tell me in the notes, please, for crying out loud. I think it was between, and I'm pretty sure it was them. If not, I want to know who it is. But I mean, it's a fucking awesome idea. Because not only can you just come along, you can bring family along, bring the kids along, you can just come and hang out. And they're doing it this week. I'm kind of frustrated. I really want to be there for it. But I'm out in Boston. I fly to Boston. I'm meant to fly to Boston tomorrow afternoon. Because I'm keynoting. Yeah, there we go. You and April. Thank you. You're awesome. I've meant to fly to Boston. I'm keynoting Secure World out in Boston. I'm also hanging out with the National Guard folks out there, so we're gonna have some fun doing that.
You gotta hey say hey to Dimitri. He's gonna be there. He's also having a talk over there, so he'll be plugging in some of the CISO value distillery stuff we're doing as well.
Oh, that'll be cool. Yeah,
Yeah.
that'll be a conversation. So I think it's you know, it's I'm looking through the comments that somebody made because I put the LinkedIn post out that one. You know, it's sorry, it's getting loud over there. The team's doing good. This is the first day I've been back in like a week and a half, almost 2 weeks, so it's kind of cool. I think it's tough because I'm interested from the CISO perspective. I think the audience, I think if you put a poll out, I'd be interested in, and you and I can work out what the poll has to say. But I want to know, and I'm interested from everybody on the sales side. There's a lot of folks here on the sales side. I want to know, we can call out names for all I care or not. I mean, I want to know what they are seeing. Are they seeing the entitlement still? Are they still seeing a bunch of tie kickers? And then honestly, from our standpoint, how can I help? How could I help identify tie kickers? What can I do to make sure our own people's feet are held to the fire so that we don't become more tie kickers? So I don't sit opposite somebody who's like, well, this is my fourth. I'm just going to have dessert and a couple of drinks. Again, okay, so perfect example. So here, FS ISAC, so Financial ISACer, is in town. And a couple of good friends or a bunch of good friends are at it. So I actually went out last night. I kind of dug myself up and I went out last night and we had dinner and it was absolutely fantastic. I'm sitting there looking at the menu and I'm like, I'm not allowed to eat that. I can't eat that. If I eat that, I'm screwed. I probably shouldn't eat that. I really want to eat that, but I found food I could eat, so I was happy. But I'm sitting there and there were eight or nine of us around the table. All amazing. Anne-Marie Zellmoyer was there. Some just amazing, like a whole bunch of CISOs, like some senior folks out of MasterCard and out of some of the banks, like people I respect. And there are a couple of folks there who were, there are a couple of folks there who were taking advantage of the thing. I mean, I can't drink much anyway. I was driving, so I had one drink anyway. End of conversation. But you could tell a lot of them were fairly respectful. One or two drinks, reasonable food, and just enjoying it. Yet there were a couple there who were as pissed as a rat by the end of the evening. I mean, like literally, like could just about stand up, definitely embarrassed the hell out of themselves, embarrassed myself and a couple of others as well. And I'm like, what are you doing? You know, just because it's on somebody else's dime, just because a vendor's picking it up, just because some, what are you doing? Really? Is this how you behave as an adult? And I have a problem with that. And I think that's where this whole looking in the mirror and how do we hold ourselves more accountable? You know, how do we as CISOs have a code of ethics when it comes to dealing with vendors? I think
Wow.
that to me would be the big thing.
Huge, huge. I what would help you if I am coming from the vendor side, what would help you kind of take a look at it? Like, how can we show you that reflection? And what can we do to kind of like systematically help you provide feedback, but also get kind of get better along the way? Like be more accountable to.
Hang on. I'm digging a thread in the back of the brain while you're talking about this. Here's what I would love to see. And everybody online can listen in on this, and we could probably flesh this out. This could actually be fucking awesome. It's almost an agreement. What's another way for putting an agreement? It's almost like a handshake. It's a handshake to say, hey, here is how we will conduct ourselves in business. You as the vendor will approach me with the promise and delivery, get rid of all the FUD. Me as the CISO will approach this truthfully. If it's a no, it's a no. And by the way, as a vendor, you have to accept a no. Is it a no for 6 months, 12 months, or 24 months? I'll tell you if it's a no for 6, 12, or 24, and we'll re-engage. But do me a favor, if I say no, it's no.
Yeah.
And it's the opt... Yeah, there we go. Oath. Perfect. Thank you, Brett. Yeah. Yeah, it's like that oath versus... what's the other way of putting it? It's... whatever the hell. We'll figure it out at some point in time. I think part of it is it's a mutual Hippocratic oath. Yeah, kind of ish. Actually, yeah, kind of ish, to be honest. Actually, more than kind of an ish. It's that mutual level of respect, Hippocratic oath type of thing. It's like, look, this is how we will conduct ourselves as we are going through this. I'm not going to tie kick. I'm not going to time waste. I have half an hour for you. I have this amount for you. I am not going to eat your marketing and sales budget. I don't want to stay dinner. I just need facts, and maybe I need to get to know you. Because again, I look at it from a CISO, and this is a tough one. And actually, let me take a step back on this. As a CISO, I don't buy product. I buy relationships.
Oh, you know, huge, huge line right there.
Yeah. There's a reason that we're doing work with New Spire, and there's a reason I'm doing work with Maria, and it has absolutely nothing to do with the product. I mean, it does have stuff to do with the product, no two ways about it, but it has more to do with the human than anything else. There's a reason I won't do business with certain companies. Yeah, totally. Yep. I'll keep talking. The wolf mutt's on the, I need a wolf mutt moment. Authenticity agreement. Yeah, it's something like that. It really is. We need to figure that one out. But it's a relationship-based thing. It's not a... And I mean, there's definitely some stuff which is purely transaction. If I'm buying Microsoft licenses, I'm buying Microsoft licenses, let's be honest. But if I'm putting my company's security and safety in the hands of somebody else, especially if it's a SaaS product, or especially if it's something where I'm having to put stuff in the cloud or whatever, then that's a respect, that's a trust, that's an organization, and that has to start from the beginning. You know, LinkedIn is getting worse and worse and worse. That's unfortunately, LinkedIn's getting worse, which is, hey, I just want to connect and talk. No, you don't. And I'm going to hold your feet to the fire. You want to connect? Or, hey, I'd love to get your feedback on our product. And I'm like, no, you don't. You actually want to sell it to me. So be honest with me right up front. But that also behooves me to be honest as well from the CISO. I just saw a question in there.
I want to bring Salsan on. Hold on.
Let's yeah, I love that on. Question. That's a
really good question. And we haven't had someone on actually asking questions in a while. So
yeah,
let's see.
Go for it. I'm up for it. I love this idea.
Let's send the link in. By the way, anybody has questions or comments, by the way, or like questions for comments, questions for us, or questions for the audience as well for feedback.
Yeah, Chris actually has a really, really good point as well. You know, as a CISO buyer, I'm not going to discuss with issues at anybody I don't trust. And that's a perfect example. Again, it's really interesting. The state didn't... Okay, so here's where it gets interesting, because you're right. On one hand, I'm being hypocritical because I want trust. Can I get trust in a 30-minute coffee conversation? No, absolutely not. Can I get a feeling... that I can move that to a trust? Absolutely. And I think that's the thing, is that, you know, if you think about it, the first conversation we have is a 30-minute coffee conversation. Okay. The tech passes the sniff test, the general idea is in good shape, and the person I'm talking to is human. Now let's move it to the next set of conversations. Now let's actually sit down and have a good conversation about the tech. Let's run it by the right people. And maybe let's sit down and have another cup of coffee, bring the person in, sit down, have a meeting. Do they pass? Does the company pass the sniff test? And then at that point, now you can go, okay, now we can maybe get into more depth. I can get more out of that than I can ever get out of a 4-hour bloody. And the other problem with the damn 4-hour freaking dinners, 2 to 4-hour dinners, half the time everybody's getting drunk. That pisses me off.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I have no time for that. I have absolutely no time for that. Yay!
Hola!
Yay!
Hola!
Me.
How's it going?
I'm good, thank you. Just tuning in. I find it really exciting. Love the conversations, guys. Big fan.
Great. So, shoot.
So I have a question. As someone who's been in sales and marketing, I love to hear both sides. But quick question is, if you're only buying for the person, then you're stuck with the technology you don't like. So what's the balance? Because when I used to sell to IT, CISOs, security yep. professionals, of course you have to build that trust. You will never tell your I won't tell you where I hide my jewelry. I won't tell you where I hide my cash. It's just not something you would do.
Right.
But at the same time, you've got to believe in the technology, because if that yes. salesperson you're buying from leaves in 3 months or 6 months,
100%. And so it gets interesting. So there's two things. One, you're right, the tech has got to be there. I mean, if you perfect, let's just say you come to me and say, hey, I've got a new widget, and the widget will solve all of your problems, which we know it isn't going to solve all my problems. But that widget's not on my roadmap for 24 months. Well, you know what? We'll just keep talking for the next 24 months, because I'm not going to buy it now, because I can't, there's nothing I'm going to do with it, because I have my roadmaps already laid out. So there's that part of it. And I think this is where it gets interesting, because as a CISO, rarely am I going to go impetuously buy something. That's not how we work. I literally have my next 24 month roadmap is laid out. I know the areas of focus. Now, there's stuff in there that's maybe, oh, that's interesting, let me take a look at it. But it's not major. It's typically minor stuff as far as that goes. So I think that's one thing. I think as a sales and marketing, that entire group has to understand they might not be in the right cycle for the CISO. Now, the CISO is also going to be honest. I'm not going to lead you on for the next 24 months about, yeah, we'll have a conversation. Fuck that. Hey, 24 months time, I'm ready to buy it. Let's have a conversation there. If you want to keep in touch every 6 months, have at it, but that's it. Don't try to sell me for the next 18 months. So that, I think, is one part of it. Secondly.
Sorry, Karen.
No, you're fine. Secondly, and I'll use Maria and NewSpire as a perfect example. We knew we needed to change our endpoint. So I knew that needed endpoint software. I know that I needed to happen. So I knew the kind of ones I wanted to look at. Maria brought one of the ones to the table I wanted to look at, also the MSSP thing. I could have gone to four other providers for the same kind of endpoint software, and same with the MSSP. And it wasn't just Maria, it's Maria and the team, because you're 100% right. If she leaves that company, it's going to hurt like hell, but I also need to maintain the relationship with others inside the organization. Mm-hmm. So I think when you come to me, it isn't just you. You're a huge part of that. Mm-hmm. But it's the team that you bring to the table. It's the engineers. How are they as humans? You know, it's the whoever's running some of the team. It's some of the other folks. I'll be very honest. I'll look at the people that you have on your board of directors and you have at your leadership. And if you don't have diversity, I'm not buying from you.
That's actually the first time I've come across that. That's super interesting. And
yeah, I mean, I've made it very clear to a couple of companies that have got great tech. And I'm like, you've got great tech, but your board of directors and your leadership team all look the fucking same.
Yeah.
I'm not buying from you. Change. And then we can have a conversation.
Do you think that works? Do you think that they make that change fast enough?
I know a bunch of them have taken that. There's a couple of companies I know where I've given that feedback, and I've also given it to the Tinkerers group that I'm part of, and they've given it back. So they're not just hearing it from me. They're hearing it now from numerous different companies. And I think more and more of us who are on that buying side are giving that message like, hey, you must change. So I think more and more people are saying the same thing. So I think it's getting there. My problem is I don't want it to be the token. You know, I mean, you know what it's like. You look on the board of directors, the only freaking female is head of HR, and I'm like, that's bullshit. Like, why didn't you have a female lead in the science? Why didn't you have a female lead in any of the STEM stuff, et cetera, et cetera? Why isn't your fucking CFO, you know, whatever, pick something other than me? So that's where I want it to be more than just that token. So I watch, I observe, and I make my own decisions based off that. But I think that's, again, that's something as a CEO, CSO, CTO, CO, we need to come to the table and say, hey, we are going to have standards. I need the diversity in there. I want to see this in there. I don't want to see this, you know, and that's where I think it behooves us to come up with that, you know, almost the Hippocratic Oath style thing.
No, that's super. I think from my experience as well, having come from sales to marketing, I've seen a lot where people, where we've built that relationship in the past and it's been completely honest, completely transparent, said what I'm going to do on the tin before I even, you know, sell them anything. They know what the intention behind any message is. When I've moved from one company to another, they've either stayed in touch or they've said, oh yeah, we're looking for this kind of solution, seeing your new company does it, and just maintaining those relationships. So even from those that I started creating 8-9 years ago, still in touch with some of those people when I first started my career, because we've had such a good relationship. So definitely see where you're coming from on that. But just wanted to check what the balance was between the tech itself. And
I think, you know, the tech's got to be right. No two ways about it. But I mean, I think if, you know, there are, the tech has to be right insofar as the solution. So let's take a step back and go. It's an analogy would be like a lock. So I have a lock and I need a key. I can go buy a key from 20 different vendors. And it doesn't matter what that key is. It doesn't matter if it's an endpoint key, a firewall key, an XDR key, an encryption key. I mean, they're, as much as everybody likes to think they're a unique snowflake out there in our industry, every single company out there has probably got numerous different bits of competition. Let's face it. So if I'm buying email protection and DNS, I can buy that from 10 different companies. At that point in time, this is where I love Victoria and Khalidi, because I can go to Victoria and say, hey, I need endpoint, I need this. And Victoria comes back with 3 or 4 companies. I talk to those 3 or 4 companies. They're all relatively level pegging with the tech. Now what I'm looking for is, who can I trust? Who can I trust as a human? Who isn't going to lie to me? Who's going to be there when it goes wrong? Because let's face it, it's going to go wrong. And from my standpoint, who can I rely on? Who can I literally call up and say, hey, we got some challenges, do me a favor, can we jump on a call on the next X? Or who, when they come into town, is like, hey, let's go grab a cup of tea. And I think it's that one. It's, I don't want to be wined and dined. I really don't. I need to know the humans. So, and I can do,
I do completely agree with that. But then at what point would you differentiate between the small talk that a salesperson has to do with you in order to get your attention?
Yeah.
Actually, the relationship, because I know when people are trying to sell to me, I'm just like, oh, what do you want? Get to it. Just tell me. Let's be honest.
So that's a perfect example. You hit it beautifully. So it is small talk, but it's small talk with honesty and integrity. So if somebody connects to me on LinkedIn, and this is where it gets really interesting. If you're connecting to me on LinkedIn and you go, hey, I just want to connect to people in the industry. No, you don't. Be honest with me. Or, hey, I'd love to connect with you and get you feedback. No. Do me a favor. Connect me and say, hey, I see you, Chris. I see you, Raboom Supersonic. We've got some interesting tech. At some point in time, I would love to show it to you, but wouldn't mind sitting down with a cup of tea and coffee and just getting to know you. Perfect. I know exactly where you stand. There's honesty. There's integrity. You've made your point clear. Like, hey, I've done my research on you. I know I'm going to get flambéed if I approach you straight up with sales. I'd love to sell to you at some point in time in the future. But for now, truthfully, I just wouldn't mind sitting down for a cup of tea and getting to know you.
So I actually used that technique when I first started out in sales, and it backfired on me horribly.
I'll give
you an example. well, it's funny now. At the time, it wasn't so. But I messaged a CISO who was quite well known in the industry, has been around quite a bit, and he's written a lot of blogs. And he wrote a blog called What Keeps a CISO Awake at Night. And I messaged him saying, look, loved your blog. I don't sell beds, but I know how to make you sleep at night. And he came back with a message.
Nope, wrong.
At the time, I hadn't thought of how else it might have been perceived, but I was trying to go down the uber personalized route, and he completely took it the wrong way.
Yeah, I probably would have been for that one too.
There's a time and place for humor and all that.
No, I'm sorry. Yeah, you probably would have ended up with a flamethrower from me as well, but very, very honestly.
Well, no, I actually didn't see it that way until he actually agreed to the meeting. And I was like, oh, that was easy. And then everyone was like, no, I don't think he thinks that's what it is.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
So it's because here's where it gets interesting as well. This is where you really have to choose your words carefully.
Yeah.
You can't solve my problems. You just can't. It isn't going to. And this, again, I think is where this is where it's got to be that almost that agreement between the CISOs and everybody else. I need to be more honest. You're never going to solve my problems. What you can do is help me reduce probability of risk. You can help me understand mm-hmm. what's going on. You can give me better eyes into my environment. You can assist in, you know, whatever the heck the product is, work on that one. But when you start using absolutes, this is where sales and marketing needs to be taken out and kind of shot in the head, to be perfectly honest. When you use absolutes, most of us who are on that CISO level will see straight through it, and we will flounder by you, because there are no absolutes. You know, I hate this whole idea, like, you know, we can protect you. No, you can't. All you can do is give me better visibility. You can help me understand my landscape, and you can help me reduce my risks. That's it. That's the best you're going to do, because you don't know what tomorrow holds. Yeah. Nobody does. Neither do you know everything about today. So if you assume you do, you're making assholes out of absolutely everybody, let's be perfectly honest. So I think that's where that wording comes really, really carefully. But again, it also behooves me, you know, I stand on the CISO side of it. I probably have to take a step back a little bit sometimes and not be quite as much of an asshole and flambe everybody.
Well, I mean, Chris, I think to be fair, you're doing a pretty good job providing alternative approaches. So if you slip and flambe someone, come on, I think you deserve some credit, because there are a handful, you know, on our side, you know, part of the mission to provide education on how to approach things.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Not totally. Many. And so I think this is exactly why we're having this conversation, right?
Mm-hmm. You
know, not just dear vendor, but dear C-suite, which I think you should have that dear vendor. You have your dear vendor letter, but you should
hang on. Tara, come here. Come. Nothing. You can just say hi. Look, say hi. There's Tara.
Hello.
Hey, Tara.
Tara's amazing. We'll just leave it at that.
Cool. So I was saying, you have your dear vendor letter. You should have your CISO letter.
Yeah, I do. And it gets used pretty often. Ooh, interesting. Hang on. CISOs often speak in absolutes. It's just fair. Nah, it isn't. If CISOs are speaking absolutes, they're wrong as well. I mean, I would challenge that one. If I ever, and I said this, and Charles is sitting over there, always got his headphones on as well. Maria says hi. If a CISO actually stands in absolutes, this is one of the things, the first board meeting I had with the company, and they were very much, you're like, you know, how are you going to protect us? You know, how are you going to keep us safe? And I'm like, I'm not. Mm-hmm. If I ever tell you I do, fire me and walk me out immediately. Because
mm-hmm.
I can't predict what the hell tomorrow is happening. I got some pretty good ideas, and I got some pretty, you know, useful things. And there's a number of vendors that help me understand what the landscape is, what it looks like, you know, threat intelligence, modeling, all that kind of good stuff. But I can't predict what tomorrow brings.
Right.
You know, shit happens. And tomorrow, who the hell knows? So I think that's where, again, it behooves everybody to have like that level of honesty and integrity, if that makes sense.
100%. All right, we're heading towards the end of the session. How do I pronounce your name? I'm sorry,
no, you butchered it.
Sosan. Okay.
All right, so hang on. Where the hell are you?
I'm in my kitchen.
Well, no, I don't care about that.
London.
Yeah, all right. I was going to say, I recognize the bloody accent. I'm over there in a week's time. Yeah,
just if you ever want to go for that coffee, I'd love to get your feedback on something.
I'm there. I'm literally. I promise.
I'm going to get that Dipinder later on.
Get your ass up to Lancashire. B-Sides Lancashire is on in like a week and a half's time. I'm there. We're going to have a shit ton load of fun. So I land in Heathrow next Wednesday. I'm going to go see Mum. And then from Mum, I'm hightailing it up to Lancashire. And then I got B-Sides Lancashire for a couple of days.
Heathrow's not far.
No, Heathrow's pretty good.
Round the corner. And if you're at UK Cyber Week as well, anyone who wants to connect.
I did a talk for Scottish Cyber Week a couple of weeks ago.
Not the Scottish one, the general UK one. I can send you.
Oh, okay. Yeah. At some point, I gotta step into Cheltenham and go say hi to the folks there. I think the week after next or whatever it is. So we will play. Yeah. I love the questions. Thank you. Like, seriously, appreciate it.
I love a good debate. I have these debates with my team and my peers all day long. So
nice. We'll bring them on and have them join you for 2 weeks.
Totally.
Sounds good. Sounds like a fun thing.
Thank
guys.
You.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
All right, Chris, before we sign off, anything you want to impart on the audience today?
I think it's we need to do another one of these sessions. We need to do another CISO session. We kind of got through only a part of it. And there's some freaking awesome stuff coming in from like Chris and Jason and everybody else.
Part two next 2 weeks.
And yeah, I think part two in the next 2 weeks. Yeah, Chris, B-Sides Lancashire. First one they're doing and fucking awesome. I know it's sold out, but come and do Hallway Con. No, I think for me, this is an ongoing conversation and it's going to take all sides. You know, it takes the CISO looking in the mirror going, what can we do differently?
Right.
It takes leadership not taking advantage of sales. Let's just be very, very honest on this one.
Right.
And marketing and vendors and everything else. So I think there's, we need to do another one of these. So yeah, 2 weeks time, I think we go after the CISOs again or the senior leadership folks again.
Sweet. I mean, I'm even open to having someone on to debate.
I love this one. There's a bunch like Tracy's on, Chris on. I know, we'll figure it out. But I also want to go through... a bunch of the questions. Oh, yeah. Plug the Waffle House on Wednesday. All right. April, I plugged it like 4 times.
Yeah.
Waffle House, Wednesday, somewhere in Denver. Hit April, hit Maria. You know the idea. Come have fun. All right. Danny, you're awesome. Thank you.
Thank you, everybody. This has been another session of What the Fuck Did I Just Read? Tech Sales and Marketing Edition. We are on in another 2 weeks. Look out for a LinkedIn Live invitation to register. Not really register, just save your calendar. Chris, you're awesome as always. Stay healthy.
Yeah, I'll work on it. Thanks. Everybody else, stay safe.
Y'all rock. Thanks very much. We're out.